Romans 16.
Believe it or not, I believe we will have the last message of the Roman series tonight. And I'm sure there'll be many more messages from the book of Romans in the years to come. But the Lord has helped us. The Holy Spirit has taught us many things and encouraged us and reminded us as we've studied this wonderful epistle. It's Paul's longest letter that he would write that was to the Roman church, and it was just filled with the gospel. It was filled with the gospel plan for the ages. And not just the gospel plan for the ages, but it was also to explain the gospel plan for all people, Jews and Gentiles, which was a mystery to most of the Jews, if not all of them. It was a mystery to the Jews, and God was revealing to even the apostles there in the New Testament and prophets, giving them understanding of God's marvelous plan of bringing the Jew and Gentile together that make up His church. But it needed explaining, and Paul did that. The Jews, most of them, it was very difficult for them to embrace this concept, this truth, that God was receiving Gentiles, and that He was using the Jews. Of course, He wanted to the Jews to reach them, but it's how God's turned down to the Gentiles to reach the Jews. And it's very humbling to them, but that's God's plan. And by the way, always keep in mind, if we don't obey the Lord and step up and let God use us the way He plans to, He's going to use someone else. Got to keep that in mind. Not that there won't be some consequences and people will feel the effects of disobedience on our part, no doubt about it. But remember this, in God's plan, Remember when Elijah was really upset and didn't think anybody was doing anything right? Do you remember what God told him? That he had how many prophets? 7,000 that were not bowing the knee to Baal. And my point is this, God wants to use you and He wants to use me in a mighty way. But we gotta come to the Lord with a surrendered heart and say, God, I want to be used of Thee. And I want Your plan to be done in my life. And as we, as we looked at it this morning, we're going to trust Him to direct our paths in that. But that's what He did. He's teaching the Jews here and the Gentiles that they now make up of what we know as the Bible declares as the church of the living God, the body of Christ, groups of believers. And this church right here is a body of believers. It is a body of Christ. He is our head, and we are submitted to Him, and we are called to take the gospel to all the world. And so He's going to close up this epistle with a great benediction, a great blessing. Of course, he's really listed a lot of names, and we've actually studied those names and preached through some of these passages, and He gave them one last warning about how they need to be aware of false teaching. And to how to avoid them. That was in chapter 16, verse 17 through 20. And we looked at that. He just said one last time, hey, be careful, church. I know you're on the right track, but don't get careless. You know, as a local church, we always have to make sure that we're not getting lazy spiritually. We're studying the Word of God. We're proving all things. We're holding fast to that which is good, as it says in Thessalonians. We are like the Bereans, and to see if these things be so in the Word of God. And I'm thankful we're reading through the Bible together and just continuing to be fresh in the Scriptures and letting the Lord use us for His glory and to teach us how to be effective for His kingdom. So what we have here in chapter 16 is after He's made all these benedictions upon these blessings and these salutations, He comes down to verse 24 through 27 is where we'll finish up the book of Romans this evening. So let's look there together. Romans chapter 16, verse 24, he closes many of his letters with this very statement. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And by the way, a preacher that says amen, it doesn't mean that he's finished. And Paul is an example of that. You know how that preacher's always saying, and one last thing? Don't believe a word he's saying, all right? But this is where he goes on to say in verse 25, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I do ask for that anointing tonight as we look at the Word of God. And Father, as we just finish up this great book that you wrote for us through the hand and personality of the Apostle Paul. And Lord, even as we studied just recently, how God, you even used help to pen the letter, how Paul was given help to actually physically write the letter as he dictated it with his words. But Lord, it is you. It is you who gave him the precise words in his heart and mind to say. And I pray that we would take it to heart. I pray that you'd strengthen us, oh Father, as we know the truths of this book. Please let us not just have our heads filled with knowledge, oh God, but I pray that it would truly change us from the inside out. I pray that it would grip our hearts from the youngest person here to the eldest. Oh, God, please do a work in our church. We need it. We want it. So, Lord, we commit our lives to you tonight. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen. Established in the gospel is tonight's message. Established in the gospel for the glory of God. Established in the gospel for the glory of God. I have 3 points that I'd like to share with you tonight and in the passage we have. If you're taking notes, I want us to notice, number one, that we are to be rooted in the gospel. Rooted in the gospel. Then secondly, it is that we see the revealing of the gospel. And thirdly, I want us to see us glorifying God in the gospel. Notice verse 25. When he says, now to him, that's God Almighty, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Here it says that is of power. The dunamis is that Greek word. That's where we get our English word dynamite. It is the power of God. Notice what's the next word there? To what? Establish. Establish. That's a very important word. It means to be rooted. It means to be grounded. It means to be solid and firm. And fixed, if you will. And that is exactly what the gospel does for us. It gives us a firm foundation. I was explaining to someone the other day, you know, there's a lot of, boy, there is a lot of difficult things to understand about the Bible. No doubt about it. That's why we're studying all the days of our life, and then we'll be studying God for all eternity. There are a lot of difficult things, but I was talking to this individual and I was explaining that, but the first thing that you have got to get, it's the foundation, it's the grounding, and that is putting your faith in the gospel. If you do not embrace by faith the core, that's the gospel. That's the foundation, if you will. If you do not embrace that by faith as a child of God, and that's the fact that Jesus died for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day, if you do not embrace that, other things will not make sense. And you will stumble and fumble and struggle with making sense of some of the other complexities and difficult things to understand. No doubt about it. The core issue is the gospel. And once a person receives the gospel, it doesn't mean that, oh, everything's just, yes, I understand everything very clearly now. No, not at all. But that is the beginning point. That is what will establish you and to keep you from being a wave that James talks about, like a wave that is tossed to and fro, having no stability. And you don't want to be like that. You want to be grounded. And Paul's saying, look, what I have written to you as a church, it is to help you to be grounded, Jews and Gentiles, to be grounded and united around the gospel. The gospel's for all. And we see that as he talked about it. Do you find it interesting that Paul, if you notice there in verse 25, he said, my gospel. He says that a couple times in Scripture. Why does he say my gospel instead of the gospel? Well, there's some interesting views there. I believe one of them is this, is that the gospel was very personal to Paul. His the very fact that him being saved, he knew that that gospel was his. God gave him the gospel. God gave you the gospel. God gave me the gospel. It is the gospel by which we are saved. It is the gospel by which we are grounded. But there's another view as well, which I think is a legitimate view. And that is the fact that God had given Paul revelation about the gospel. Special revelation. And understanding what God was doing through the ages. Because as we'll see here in a few moments, these things were hid from the Old Testament saints. They did not know that God was going to do this. They did not understand. Even the prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah, they prophesied of the coming Messiah. But understanding the church and understanding how God would turn to the Gentiles and the Jews would then come together and make up the church, that was a total mystery to them. They had no idea. But God is going to reveal those things, and he revealed them to Paul. And Paul, the gospel was very personal to him. And he said that in Romans chapter 2, verse 16. He also said it in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. And then the other instances here in Romans chapter 16, verse 25. I tell you what, the gospel helps us to be rooted, established. Those of you that have an appreciation for God's creation and nature may like this, but has anyone here ever heard of the Pando, the quaking aspen clone in Utah? Anybody here ever heard of that? I hadn't either until I studied for this message. It was just an illustration that I was thinking of, and I was looking up root systems and. And this is located in the Fish Lake National Forest in Utah. Actually, quite fascinating fact about this root system. Pando is a male clonal organism, one of the largest, if not the largest, living organisms on Earth that's made up of over 40,000 aspen trees, more technically referred to as stems. And they are all genetically identical. The trees are spread over this root system. These trees are all interconnected underground by this vast root system that spans over 106 acres. This came from one seed. One seed spread all out. It's estimated that this root system, they estimated that it could be as heavy as 40 million tons. How they figure that out, please don't ask me. But it is believed to be the oldest tree on Earth by many scientists. It is quite fascinating. As they continue to study it, and I look forward maybe to seeing it one day. But I love also, as I read this and studied this little illustration here, is that the Pando is what it means. And this is great. because it fits in perfectly to the illustration that I want to convey to you tonight, to communicate to you tonight. The word pando is the Latin word which means I spread. I spread. And folks, that's exactly what the gospel does. That's what it was intended to do. That's what it's designed to do. It is that one seed that through Jesus Christ gave us, that gospel seed. And here we are tonight. I don't know how many of us here that are born again, but we got maybe 75 to 90 stems right here in this sanctuary. And then we go over out into the other churches around the community and other believers around the community, to the different states and to the different world. And it all started with that one gospel seed. And it's still spreading. It's still reproducing. It's still having a move across the world because it's God's design. And anytime a church sees itself not reproducing, it means there's a problem. And so we constantly want to be mindful of how we can continue to let the gospel message go forth with power. And by the way, as I look at this root system, I love the picture of it too, that it even give to a local church, that though we are all growing off the one seed, if you will, we're all interconnected underground in Christ. We're all connected. Our roots are spread out. That's just amazing to me. 106 acres is one tree basically growing. With a fascinating and marvelous design of God and His creation spread across that way. And you know, I just believe that's wonderful. But I want to tell you folks, we are rooted deeply in Christ by the gospel. And that's why we can continue to move forward. As He uses this word "establish" here, church, we ought to be strong and firm in what we believe and why we believe it. I know things get difficult in this world, and boy, there are things that challenge us. I was even thinking about it today in our meeting about the missions trip. You know, when we go over and learn about Mormons and what they're teaching. I'm looking forward to learning more about that, but I want to tell you, it's intimidating. When I was living in Niger and witnessing to Muslims and talking to them, it was intimidating. But I always come back to this. God says that there is power like none other in the gospel of Jesus Christ. In the gospel is where the power is. It's not in Brinson Jennings. It's not in Thomas Jennings. It's not in Kathy Hoyt. It's not in Charles Henry. It's not in Cody Davis. The power is in the gospel. Now, thank God we do have the power of the Holy Spirit to give the gospel. But when it comes to us seeing His message spread, I want to tell you, we just got to be faithful delivery boys and girls, men and women. Messengers. That's what you are. That's what I am. Just simply messengers. But when the people of God in a church stop being messengers and carriers, begins to die. And Paul says, look, you're established in the faith. But not only do we see rooted in the gospel here, but not only, then we see the wonderful revealing of the gospel. Look at verse 36. It says, actually, let's look at the second part of 25. It says, in the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation, notice this, of the mystery. The mystery, anytime you see the word mystery in Scripture, it is a previously hidden truth. Get this, a previously hidden truth that is now divinely revealed. The word mystery, a previously hidden truth that is now divinely revealed. And that is what we have with the church and the gospel of our Savior Jesus Christ. And so He says here was the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. It had not been revealed until, notice verse 36. But, verse 26, excuse me, verse 26, the Bible says, but what? Let's say it together, church. But now is made manifest. It's made clear. By what? The Scriptures. The very New Testament that we have is revealing this new dispensation, if you will. The dispensation that we call the church age. And by the way, it's the one before Jesus comes to get His bride. And then we'll have the dispensation age of the millennial reign of Christ. But now, the next thing that happens on the prophetic timeline, according to Scripture, is the coming of our Messiah. He's going to come and the trumpet's going to sound and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and them which are alive and remain shall be caught up together, and we shall be forever with the Lord. That is the blessed hope the Scriptures talk about. And we need to look forward to that, brethren. And to be thinking about it. We need to be thinking about it every day, if all possible, that today could be the day that our Lord returns. It doesn't mean that we don't plan for the future. God tells us to do that in Scripture. He tells us to do that. He tells us to be diligent. And He tells us to think about the future in investing in generations to come. Absolutely. But at the same time, praise God, that blessed hope that Jesus could come today thrills my soul. But I'm reminded, brethren, He hasn't come yet. Why don't you think He's come yet? There's more people to be saved. And that should also motivate us to go and to reach them. I think upon even the young people of our church, I pray for you. I pray that God would get a hold of your hearts and you'd get a vision for the gospel and what He wants to do through your life. And the rest of us, as we surrender our hearts, wow, God is revealing it. He's revealed it in His Word, and we need to go and share it. Amen? Would you hold your place there in Romans, and would you go over to 1 Peter with me? It's not too far there in the New Testament. You don't have to go too far. Just go past Hebrews. Once you pass Hebrews, you'll hit James, and then 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. Again, the same idea that it was once hid, but now has been made clear. Notice what it says. Of which salvation the prophets, that's the prophets of the Old Testament, have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Searching what? Or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ. For instance, Isaiah 53 and so many other accounts where the sufferings of Christ were prophesied in the Old Testament. And also the glory. That was His second coming, where He would set up His millennial reign. And He would restore Israel to her rightful place. And that's the glory that should follow. Now, notice verse 12. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Which things, this is always an interesting statement to me, which things the angels desire to look into, talking about the gospel. So we see now that this transitional time, though it was a mystery to them in the Old Testament, it is being revealed clearly here in the New Testament. Notice with me, if you would, before we go back to Romans 16, to Colossians. Colossians is between Romans and where we just were. It's right there past Philippians. Philippians, right before Thessalonians. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 26. All right, verse 26. Notice what it says. Even the mystery, there it is. The mystery, again, a mystery is a previously hidden truth now divinely revealed. It says, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now, there it is again, is made manifest to His saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. What should we do as a result of that? Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto Paul says, I also labor, striving according to His working, which worketh in me mightily. There's so many verses that I could take you in that. Even in, please think about Ephesians chapter 2 and 3. Paul deals with it very clearly about this mystery of the church being revealed in God's perfect plan. But not only does he give here the being rooted in the gospel and revealing the gospel, but then thirdly, in closing tonight, we see glorifying God in the gospel. Let's go back to Romans 16. Romans 16 here. You're listening so well tonight. I appreciate you. I appreciate you. I know y'all getting all excited about the snow, but just hang in there, okay? And we're going to be all right. All right. So here in verse 26, but now is made manifest by the Scriptures according to the commandment of the everlasting God. It's God that commanded the gospel to go forth and be made clear. Because it says here, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. You see, the gospel glorifies God because of what it accomplishes. What does the gospel accomplish? Salvation. Peace. Well, there's about 75 of you sitting here tonight. It produces people getting born again. You are the fruit of the gospel. And it glorifies God and what the difference it's made in your life and the eternity that is ahead. Folks, this right here on earth, this is just all temporary. This is all, the Bible says, it's a vapor. We're just passing through. I'm so thankful that we're going to be spending all eternity together. We're going to be in heaven forever together. We'll see each other, you know, and then, you know, maybe about 1,000 years or maybe 10,000 or maybe even like 1,000,000 years after that, we'll see each other again. Hey, it's been a while. Yeah. There will be no sense of time, I'm sure. But praise God. We got a lot to be thankful for tonight. If I were to die tonight, I know where I'm going. I'll be in the presence of God. And you can say the same thing, I hope. If you were to die, if the heart, you were to have a heart attack. And don't think you're ever too young to die. If you were to die, where would you spend eternity? I want to tell you, if you can say, I'm going to heaven because of the blood of Jesus Christ died for me, He rose again, that right there glorifies God. You let your light shine. You let this world know why you have hope. You let this world know out here, all around us. You let your life be a light to them. Because God is being glorified through that. It is God's will for everyone to be saved. Not all will be saved, but it is His will for all nations to obey the gospel, and that is believe in it. Believe in it, friend. I've been burdened about this. I don't know when I'm going to do it. Something that you can be praying with me about, but in Lord willing, in the next maybe month, 2 months, something I'd like to do. And maybe you could pray with me about it. I would like for us to have a special service one day where I preach on giving the gospel, but especially beginning with our loved ones. We have many. We right here in our church now, you have some loved ones, whether it's next to kin, distant kin, that you're praying for their salvation. And I don't know how much time we have to reach them. And I just pray, I'm praying that God would give us a special anointed service where we could do something and maybe in a symbolic way we could write their names on a card. And we could bring them to the altar and just leave them here. And we can pray over them and then we can compile a list. And then through that, we'll be all be praying for these names as a church, whether it's just the first name or first and last, regardless. We begin praying for them as a church, and then we begin truly trying to win them. Whether it's a letter, whether it's just building that relationship, and just pray that God would help us to see our loved ones come to Christ. God's given us that special influence with them. And not that we're going to neglect the rest of the world, but we got to start right there. Those in our own home and beyond. But it spreads to all nations. I think upon these parents that were faithful. God didn't call them to go to the mission field. But I think about Hudson Taylor's parents and Adoniram Judson's parents. And I think of David Eden's parents that I've mentioned, missionaries. I think about all those three that I just mentioned, especially David's parents. David's dad, who he went out to the Niger and translated the Bible in their language. His dad was just a faithful construction worker who loved God, went to church faithfully. Loved his kids, he loved his wife, and that's what he died doing. He retired as in construction. But my point in saying this is his son that they would lead to Christ would go on and to be a channel for thousands of Muslims, thousands, tens of thousands of Muslims to trust Jesus as their Savior in the Sahara Desert. You see, God is calling us to impact our homes, and our homes can impact nations. Parents here tonight, would you pray that God would give your young people a burden to take the gospel to the nations? Even if they don't go, God can have them a burden to be faithful like you are in a local church, to support missions, to pray for missions. And maybe their children will go, your grandchildren. Who knows what God's going to do? But we commit them to the Lord, don't we? You see what Paul is going after here. Notice in closing, we see the glorifying of God in the gospel, and that is verse 27. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. You ought to write to the side there. You could easily write out that this is a somewhat of a parallel passage from verse 25 even to verse 27 is 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. We won't go there for sake of time, but 1 Peter 5, verse 10, it says this, but the God of all grace, aren't you thankful He's the God of all grace? Who hath called us into His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. As we close out this portion of Scripture and this study in Romans, may we not forget that the main thing is the gospel of Jesus Christ. So church, let's not let up. Let's put those gospel shoes on and keep pressing on. Let our hearts be rooted in Him, grounded in Him by the gospel. And let's let the same message that reached the Romans reach to our hearts. Let's go out there and impact a dying world. Would you say amen? Father, we need You.